All right, thank you so much.
Maying hapon sa inyong tanan.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. It's always a joy to see young people. Diri sa Dumaguete Manggo Tanang Service, Youth Service. Okay? And not to offend all of the wiser ones, but really we believe in the next generation and we believe in you, and our elder generation has a responsibility to set an example for the next generation as well. Our organization, Every Nation Campus, the umbrella organization of Victory, Every Nation believes in the next generation. We believe that as we reach out the next generation in the campus, we will change the campus and change the world. Do you believe that? Okay, so this is my family. That's my beautiful wife, Grace. And that's her baby, si baby Helene Louise. She's 2 months old. That's how cute she is. And literally, when we had baby Helene, she was our world changer. She really changed our world. Okay, changed how we sleep, changed everything and how we do. But when I became a father, I really understood that how much God loves us. And I just want to tell that to everyone, that God loves you. Regardless of who you are, regardless of background, of what you have done in the past, or I don't know, maybe you've come here drenched in sin. But let me tell you, God is a Father who loves you so much. Because when I looked at the baby and she arrived, she hasn't done anything yet, but yet my love for her grows every single day. And now I really understood, God is how much you love me. I don't need to perform before you, all right? But yet you love me just the same as who I am. And I also want to let you know that. That's how God sees you. And in connection to our series today is we want to understand also who Jesus is. That's really the purpose of All and Nothing. To understand the saving knowledge of Christ. The saving knowledge of who Jesus is, and that you can never add anything to it. That's what All or Nothing is all about. It's the all and the fullness of Jesus and nothing to add anymore. In order for us to have a relationship with God, to have the fullness of God, Jesus is the only solution. Period. That's why we're having a study on the book of Colossians. And last week we talked about an introduction about this book. All right. But today we're going to talk about the supremacy of Christ. Okay. How supreme Jesus is. Who Jesus is. And for most of us, we're Christians. We come to church. We all know the Great Commission. How many of you know the Great Commission? Do you know the Great Commission? Sumbong tamong Archie, ha? Kung makibaw na. The Great Commission is? Go forth to all the world and make disciples of all nations, right? Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. You'll be with me to the end of age. Almost all of Christians know that. If you're here today, you've been a Christian, you have read that verse that has been pounded on you. Okay? As Christians, we understand the Great Commission. And if you've been a Christian for quite some time, you also would understand what is the greatest commandment. What is the greatest commandment when Jesus was asking? Love the Lord your God, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the greatest commandment. But let me tell you today, you may understand the Great Commission and understand the Great Commandment, but if you don't understand the greatest question and the answer to it, you will never fulfill the Great Commandment and you will never be able to do the Great Commission. And the question is, what is the great question? The great question was asked by Jesus to Peter when Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say I am?" That is the greatest question. If you understand the fullness of the personality and the immensity of the power and grace of Jesus Christ, that's the only way we can fulfill the Great Commission, we can obey the Great Commandment. That is the goal of this preaching today. Who is Jesus? Are you ready for this? And the book of Colossians answers that. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. And the title of the paragraph, I tell you, I'm so excited to preach this message. It's the preeminence of Christ. Let that sink in for a moment. The preeminence of Christ. The supremacy of Jesus. Verse 15, it said, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible," meaning there are visible creation and invisible creation, "in heaven and on earth, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." Verse 17, "And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." In verse 18, he said, "And he is the head of the body, the church, is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent." And verse 20, "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth and heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross." And we're going to look at all of these things today. Now, the first verse that we're going to look at this morning is Colossians 1:15. He said, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." All right? When I was still a student, just like you in Siliman, I was here in 1996, and my faith really was destroyed because of a lot of ideas. I tell you, before the LGBT during 1996, during that time, they were so strong already as well. A lot of ideas on LGBT, New Age, Christianity, and all of that. I came here in this campus as a young Catholic. And because of that, I started to entertain different kind of ideas until I was consumed by atheism, open atheism, wherein I know the existence of God, but I choose to believe that he doesn't exist. Because of what I feel, because of rationalism, he cannot be explained, because he has no physical form, and all of those things. And faith, wherein you believe in something that you cannot see, that doesn't make sense. And when I started to embrace all of these ideas, I started to disbelieve who God is. And my question was, if God is real, who is he? How does he take form? He should show himself now. If he is really real, he should come here, look at me in the eye, and tell me that he is God. If that's how powerful he is. All right? And I was so ignorant to know that 2,000 years ago, there was a man who was, the Bible saying in Colossians 1:15, the exact representation of this invisible God. In Colossians 1:15, the Bible, Paul is exhorting, Paul is saying that God is a transcendent God, meaning he is beyond us, cannot be reached, he's immaterial, he is metaphysical, he doesn't have a physical form. But in Jesus, in Colossians 1:15, he's saying he is the exact representation of the image of God. And this just totally blows our mind. How can God be contained in a human form? That's how powerful this God is. Let me tell you, this Jesus that you're worshiping today is the exact representation of this invisible God. The same God who created the universe. The same God who spoke things into being, who put the stars in its places, who created all the species of animals, all of the species of birds, all of the species of trees and everything that grows in here in this universe and in this earth is the same God that is in Jesus. That's what this is talking about. The God of Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham. The same burning bush experience. When Moses had a burning bush experience and God revealed himself that crossed the Red Sea, wherein all of the Israelites moved from Egypt to the promised land. That is the same God we're talking about today. That is the Jesus that we are worshiping today. The God that said to Abraham, "I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to have promises for you. I'm going to make your name great. And from you, all of the nations of the world will be blessed," which truly everyone was blessed. Is that Jesus who walked 2,000 years ago? That is the God that we're serving. That's why I really believe what the Bible is saying, that the Bible, the kingdom of God, it's not just a matter of talk, it's a matter of power. Yung mga worship natin dito, hindi lang taas-taas ting gamay yan. Yung God na sinu-worship natin ngayon is a powerful God, is an infinite God, is an omnipotent God, is an omniscient. He knows everything, is all-powerful, all-knowing in every place at all times. He cannot be contained. And he's for us and not against us. And his name is Jesus. Jesus is not made in the image of God, but the exact representation of the invisible God. The exact image of the invisible God. Di ba pag image, have you looked at yourself in the morning? You look at yourself in the morning, right? Yung iba, hindi. Kasi okay lang eh. Okay, diretso na. Hindi nag-toothbrush, hindi na nag-aano. So, diretso na. I was like that when I was in college. Okay? Whatever I wore on the night, when I wake up, that's it. Because I'm gonna be late, then yun na yun. Then after that, during free times, dun ako maliligo, babalik ako sa dorm. Dun ako titingin sa salamin. And when you look at yourself in the morning, you see an image, right? Ang image ba nun, katabi mo, di ba nakakatakot? Pagkita mo, si John, yung nakita ko, para magkaiba yata. It's not like that, right? What you see in the mirror is the exact image of who you are. This illustration even is a poor illustration for this. Because the Greek word for this, eikon, is not just a picture, but even the image, the representation of the character, the power, and the being. And what he said was that Jesus was the image of this God from eternity past. Imagine that. And you want to see God? Basically, what this verse is saying, look at Jesus. That is who God is. And what are the characteristics that Jesus represents and emanates from him, coming from God? That is his likeness. The characteristics of God is the same. Meaning who God is as an invisible God in power, in omnipotence, and in everything is the same. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, omniscient. And next is representation. He became our priest. He represented God to us, and us, we were represented to God. That's what a priest does. Represents, mediates, all right? And next is the manifestation. He manifests who God is to all of us. As you are listening to this message, you may be thinking, oh, okay, that's how good God is. But let me tell you, that's why it's important for all of us, not just to listen on a Sunday, but to really to research, to really dig into who God is, to read your word, to discover the immensity of the grace of God, of the love of God, because the more you understand who God is, the more you would desire him, the more you would know how great his love for you is. And I tell you, you can never exhaust the greatness, the power, the grace of God, the love of God. It's infinite. If God is infinite, Jesus' love for you is infinite. These are the magnitude of the implications of understanding that Jesus is the same as that infinite, all-powerful, and all-loving God in the past. What that means, if that's who he is, okay? Meaning the characteristic of his love for you is infinite as well. No matter how many times you fail, no matter how many times you fall short, how many times you feel like you struggle and you fall again, you can never exhaust the grace of God because this is his character. You can always come to him. But my question to you is, do you know him? Do you know who he is? And next that I want to share with you is this, that he is the creator of all universe. He said in Colossians 1:15-17, he said, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. This is what atheists use. They use this verse that Jesus is a created being, all right? But what the other verses are saying, if you're just going to read that, it may sound like it, but if you're going to verse 16, it said, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, whether visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or rulers, or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. What this is saying is that when you say firstborn, it's not as if you're thinking like a man wherein somebody's born, okay, and he was created. What he's saying is that even before creation existed, there it was Jesus. And through him, all creation flowed through. You know what the Bible is saying when God created the heavens and the earth? God said, he is the written word. He is the word of God. When God spoke, and Jesus is the word, right? Again, I tell you, this is the same God who created that person seated beside you. Could you imagine that? Ginawa ni Lord yan? This is the same God who put the stars in its place. 76 trillion stars in the known universe. This is the same God who made billions of galaxies. Huh? Are you tracking me with this, the immensity of his power? This is the same God. You know what the Bible is saying about him? He put the stars in his places because the power of his might, not one of them is missing. This is what the Bible says about this God. And what God is saying, He created them. He is the creator. And that blew my mind when I became a Christian, that there was a creator. I thought I was God. When I was an atheist, I thought I can be like God. I thought I can be the captain of my soul. I thought I'm strong enough to do. And you know, if only I could harness 100% of my mind, I could do telekinesis. But when I understood the Bible that I'm just a creation and somebody created me, it blew my mind. That I don't need to control my life because I can trust somebody who's more in control. I want to show you a video that proves the existence of God. Okay? And let me share this to you.
Does God exist? Or is the material universe all that is, or ever was, or ever will be? One approach to answering this question is the cosmological argument. It goes like this. Whatever begins to exist has a cause. The universe began to exist, therefore, the universe has a cause. Is the first premise true? Let's consider. Believing that something can pop into existence without a cause is more of a stretch than believing in magic. At least with magic, you've got a hat and a magician. And if something can come into being from nothing, then why don't we see this happening all the time? No, everyday experience and scientific evidence confirm our first premise. If something begins to exist, it must have a cause. But what about our second premise? Did the universe begin? Or has it always existed? Atheists have typically said that the universe has been here forever. The universe is just there, and that's all. First, let's consider the second law of thermodynamics. It tells us the universe is slowly running out of usable energy, and that's the point. If the universe had been here forever, it would have run out of usable energy by now. The second law points us to a universe that has a definite beginning. This is further confirmed by a series of remarkable scientific theories. In 1915, Albert Einstein presented his general theory of relativity. This allowed us, for the first time, to talk meaningfully about the past history of the universe. Next, Alexander Friedman and George Lemaître, each working with Einstein's equations, predicted that the universe is expanding. Then in 1929, Edwin Hubble measured the red shift in light from distant galaxies. This empirical evidence confirmed not only that the universe is expanding, but that it sprang into being from a single point in the finite past. It was a monumental discovery, almost beyond comprehension. However, not everyone is fond of a finite universe, so it wasn't long before alternative models popped into existence. But one by one, these models failed to stand the test of time. More recently, three leading cosmologists, Arvind Bord, Alan Guth, and Alexander Vilenkin, prove that any universe which has on average been expanding throughout its history cannot be eternal in the past, but must have an absolute beginning. This even applies to the multiverse, if there is such a thing. This means that scientists can no longer hide behind a past eternal universe. There is no escape. They have to face the problem of a cosmic beginning. Any adequate model must have a beginning, just like the standard model. It's quite plausible then that both premises of the argument are true. This means that the conclusion is also true. The universe has a cause. And since the universe can't cause itself, its cause must be beyond the space-time universe. It must be spaceless, timeless, immaterial, uncaused, and unimaginably powerful. Much like God.
All right, so what the video is saying to all of us is that there is a cause for everything. There is a beginning. And I want to repeat what he said in the last. He said that it should be spaceless, should be timeless, immaterial, uncaused, and exceedingly powerful. Guess who he describes? God. And what the Bible in Colossians 1:15 to 17 is saying, this Jesus is the exact representation, the image of this God, the spaceless, timeless, immaterial, uncaused, increasingly and exceedingly powerful is Jesus. And mind you, this Jesus was the starting point, the beginning, that point where in everything else in all creation began. And what I want to share with you in this second point is this, that you are not the center of the universe. Jesus is the center. This either brings security or this either brings terror to you. Either you're for him or you're against him. Because if he is the center and you are against him, watch out. But if you are for him and he is for you, look at the struggles, look at the needs, look at whatever it is in your life right now that is lacking. You go to Jesus and say, you are the owner, God. I ask from you, I decree and I declare, I receive from you, then you will receive it. Because he owns, he creates, he owns the entire estate in the entire universe. That's what this Jesus that we're talking about here is. All right? And our response should be, when we understand that we are not the center, you know what we do when we go to God? We have our plans and we lift it up to God and we tell God, Lord, you approve all of these plans. Then I'm going to worship you and follow you. That's wrong. Because as what the Bible is saying, you are not God. You are not the center. Our response should be, God, I'm not Jesus. I'm not God. You are God. I come to you. I give to you my life. Do as you please. And I tell you, God is a good God who is exceedingly powerful, exceedingly timeless, okay? Exceedingly loving. There is nothing he cannot do for you that would be good for you. Our response should be, God, I trust you. Tell me now, tell me what your needs are right now in light of this idea. How is that in compare to the greatness of who God is? How much do you need? How many disciples are you believing? How many years have you been praying for your family? How is that compared to the knowledge of God and the plans of God? Don't you agree? Don't you know that if you love your family, how much more God loves them? And if you're praying for them, God hears it. And this God is exceedingly powerful. He can do whatever he can as he wills, as he desires. And what the Bible is saying, if you pray, he hears it. When he hears it, he does it. That's how powerful this idea of Jesus being God is. And lastly, last idea that I want to share with you is this. He is the head of the church. It said in Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. I want to dissect this because the power of God through Jesus will flow through the church. It's not through other people. That's why I firmly believe that the hope of the world is this church. The hope of Dumaguete is this church because the power of God will only flow through this church. And as you draw from God, as you get it from Jesus, then you will reflect that out in the world. Dumaguete will be blessed because of victory, because of all of the other churches here in the city, because he is the head of the church. What this means is that, di ba yung head, he's the one directing the parts. Unless the head says so, the parts is not gonna do it. So as you draw from God as the head, who has all powerful, all knowing, everything that we need, there's nothing impossible for this church to do. There is nothing. I firmly believe that if you are here today, you're a member of this church, you say Jesus is Lord, you're a believer of Christ, nothing is impossible for those who believe. No struggle, no need, no sickness and disease because he is the head. And it's gonna flow through us. Don't ever tell yourself, God, lisod na kayo, dugay na kayo. Wait and persevere. Because a time will come where in the opportune time where God's going to respond, He will bring the breakthrough in your life. It's gonna flow in this church. And He said here, He is the beginning. And He said, the firstborn among the dead. What this means is that when He died, He resurrected, right? But He is a prototype of all of those who's going to be resurrected with Him. And who is going to be resurrected? The church. Let me tell you, the moment you believe in Jesus, eternal life started there. Your resurrection has been secured. Don't you understand the immensity of this? When He becomes the head, when we come to His Lordship and submit to Him and follow Him and obey Him and receive Him, because I tell you, He might be the head, but if you're in sin, you can never receive from God. It's so hard. Sin blocks the blessings of God. All right? There are a lot of graces that God gives for free. Like, for example, salvation is by grace through faith. But let me tell you, a lot of blessings that God stipulates in the Bible is conditional by faith. It's conditional by obedience. But let me tell you, the moment you submit to the head, I tell you, there's no reason why you would not. When you understand the immensity of the power and the provision that is available for you, why would you not? That's why I really believe those people who go to church and just play church, and say play church or just come and, you know, it doesn't really submit their lives to God, didn't really understand this message of what lies waiting for them because of what Jesus done on the cross. That's the power. Now, what's the response? The response to this, if we are the recipient, if we would submit to Him, then we would go out there and share this to others. The reason why the church is not going out there and preaching the gospel is we are not really convinced that this is what is as He has given to us. That's what it is. Eh? Diba? If you go to a restaurant and you eat food and you so love the steak, as in the smell, as in everything, what do? You share it to others. Bro, ato dito sa restaurant. Lame gagayo ang sizzling bulalo. Di ba? Why? Because you experienced it. Okay? And this is what is for the church. For you, for you, for you. Regardless of background, regardless of who you are, I could totally attest to this. I was in Silliman. When I got saved, for me, I'm the worst person. I cannot be saved because everything that I have done. I experienced the grace of God. I experienced the restoration of God. I experienced the salvation of God. I experienced the blessings of God, financial, physical, healing. Regardless of background, you just come to Him and respond. And humble. And allow Him to be the head. I tell you, that's the time that you're going to receive and experience the goodness and the fullness of God. I'm not saying this is easy, but it's simple. That's what it's saying. And it said here, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. He's saying that for everything, you know what eminence means? It's supremacy. Diba? His eminence. Then you bow because you recognize the authority. But what He's saying is that He might be preeminent. He's the first to resurrect, meaning He is the prototype. He is supreme over all. Then everyone who believes will have the same resurrection and life. And let me tell you today, if you're here, you believe this message, you're not going to die. Death has no sting. You're alive. Your resurrection is secure. You can look at the face of death. You know what? Every time I ride an airplane, that's always my fear. To be honest, part of my job is to travel, and every time I ride an airplane and there are air pockets and it would shake, I'm so morbid. I always think, wala basig mo crash ni aeroplano. And what gives me security really is, so what would I lose if I die today? I would gain everything. Because that's what Jesus has given to us. It removes all fear. It removes every inhibition. It gives you boldness that God, in death, I receive everything. But in life, I'm going to give my life to You. That's what Paul is saying. It gives you freedom. When we understand that He is the head of the church, when you submit to His headship, when you recognize that He is Lord, I tell you, grabe. A lot of people are thinking about lordship as if you're giving a lot, diba? Right? One-to-one, ah, Lordship, sobrang hirap. I tell you, what you're giving to God is nothing compared to what's about to give you. When you submit to God, it's like you're saying, God, I'm giving you all of the trash and you receiving all of the treasures. And I want to go back to what I said before I shared this message. We know the Great Commission. We know the Great Commandment. But do we really know the great question? And the question is, who do you think Jesus is? How would you respond to this message? Because I can shout to you all day long. I can tell you all of the truths. But if you don't respond and humble yourself and say, God, I submit. God, you are the center. God, I am not. This message is useless. Are you going to respond like Peter when he said, you are the Lord? You are the Messiah? Yes, God. You are the center. I am not. Yes, God, I submit to you. I just want to pray for that for all of you, that we might respond in the right way, that we might see today the supremacy of who this God is and what He has in store for us.